John chapter 4.
Jesus saith unto her, Woman, verse 21, Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation, the Savior, is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
We ended last week with that verse, and this week we go on to verse 25. This is the sixth time that the woman speaks to Jesus. When Christ spoke, he spoke seven times to her. That's a good biblical number. And here in verse 25, it is the sixth time that the woman speaks to Christ, but she doesn't only speak six times in the passage, and I'm glad it doesn't end with the sixth time. Okay? And we'll get to that. But here, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And that was his seventh statement to her. Now, if you look at your Bibles, you're going to see that last word there is in italics. Okay? It was not put, there was not a Greek word for that. And it is in italics. And what he's saying here is, Jesus saith unto her, what has God always described himself as when he makes him, when he reveals himself to man? He uses this phrase, I am. I am. And here in this verse, Jesus uses that phrase, I am. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am God. That's what he's telling her. She said back in some previous verses, I perceive that thou art a prophet. He's more than a prophet. He's more. He has to be more than a prophet. There are religions in the world today that look on Jesus as simply another one of the Old Testament prophets. It cannot be. There is no salvation in a prophet. There's proclaiming from a prophet. There is preaching from a prophet. But salvation comes from I am. I am. And here in verse 25 or verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man saith, what seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? As we look at this passage of Scripture, there's several things that I want to bring out in these verses from 25 down to 29, and hopefully we'll get to 29. But she clearly, in verse number 25, I know that Messiah. Remember back in verse 10, early on in this study, look back at that verse just quickly. Jesus answered and saith unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God. What is Christ saying there? He's saying there's something, my dear lady, that you must know. There's something that you must know. And here in verse 10, he says, if thou knewest the gift of God. And it doesn't end there because there's a comma there. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him and he would have given thee living water. There's two things that the woman had to do in order to be saved. She had to know some things. She had to know Jesus Christ. And she had to ask. Okay? She had to know and she had to ask. Here she says in verse 25, I know. There's something that has come to her heart and to her mind through this discourse. She knows there is scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it was there even at this time. She knew some scriptures about the Messiah. And she says it right here. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. This is a cry from the heart of a seeking individual. This is the cry of the heart of a woman who can only go to the well at 12 o'clock noon. Not when everybody else goes to the well. And by now you know why. She can't go to the well at 6 o'clock in the morning when all the other women are there at the well, because she is the town harlot. She has taken 5 husbands and is living with number 6. She is the talk of the well every morning amongst the women. Yeah, I saw her looking at your husband's on the menu this week. That's the talk at the well. She can't go to the well. She can't even talk to the people in that community because her reputation is such that she is the mortal enemy of every woman in that community. And she is the bane of every man in that community. So you want to talk about an outcast. You want to talk about somebody that absolutely has reached the end of her rope. She's there. The man she's living with, number 6. Are you finding it, young lady? And she, I don't believe she's a young lady. I believe she's got a few years now. Because number 6, she's not in her 20s anymore. She's probably not in her 30s anymore. She's probably in her 40s or 50s maybe. Are you finding what you're looking for? Are the men that have come into your life one after another filling that spiritual hole that you know only the Messiah can fill? Because she knows that. She knows she's lacking. She knows she's wanting. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're sitting in this congregation today and you've got that empty hole in your soul because the Messiah is not there, you know it. You cannot sit and listen to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit not impress that upon your heart. You're missing something. All those years I sat in the Maranatha Baptist Church as a lost church member, that hole existed. Yet I convinced myself day after day, week after week, month after month. I made a profession of faith. I did it when I was 10, and if that didn't work, I did it when I was 17. But why is it still there? Why is it still there? 37 years of the Baptist religion. Empty. 30 years or so of one relationship after the other. And she's empty. There's nothing there. There's no relationship with God. She thinks that God can be found in a place. Gerizim, Jerusalem. And Jesus says, no. No. No, a relationship with God is not found in a place. It's found in a person. Landon is not getting saved tonight. Right, Landon? Landon's not getting saved tonight. Landon's getting baptized to show all of you what he's already done in his heart down there in that room at the bottom of the steps on that bench that night. That's where it happened. This is just to show you what happened down there. I was baptized twice, one when I was 10 and one when I was 17, and the hole still existed. Why? Because I had gotten saved for the wrong reasons. One was a church that taught baptismal regeneration. That one wasn't my fault. But the next time it was. Because I got saved to make a problem go away. I'll be honest with you. I got a real problem with crisis professions. When I got truly born again, there was no crisis in my life. There was no financial problems. There were no family problems. There were no job problems. There were no problems. The problem was I knew I was lost and undone. And that's where God needed me. And that's where she is. That's where this dear woman is. She is at a place in her life where she is. There's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. There has to be something behind these endless relationships that are alienating me from my community and my family and not filling this spiritual hole that I have within me. You can look out at the world and they're all laughing. They're all yucking it up. But you don't see those knights laying on their beds where they're crying. You don't see those times of deep depression because, hey, you can hole up in your house, get on the internet, and live apart from anybody else and hide it away. And we've become a society of that. We really have. And now even that feeling, that emptiness, that empty spiritual hole is not only tucked away in houses, in closets, in quiet bedrooms. You see it on the faces of the people out in the streets. How many people have you passed in a car and seen a smile on their face lately? Seriously. How many? Most of the time, and I look at faces. And I see these faces that are just faces of misery. Constantly passing faces of misery. The only time I ever see a smile on anybody's face is when their face is buried in a telephone. Other than that, there's nothing there. And I'm here to tell you right now, those iPhones aren't going to fill that spiritual hole either. We have a virtual generation growing up in a virtual reality who thinks that that spiritual hole can be filled by virtual spirituality. And it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And this woman is at the end of her rope. And in a cry of desperation, and I believe that's what this is, the woman says, "I do know something, sir. I do know something. I know that Messiah is coming." Listen, if you're sitting here in this church today, when this book is opened, and when Jesus is preached, the Messiah is here. He's being revealed to you through His Word. This is the revelation today. You're not going to see Him in nature. You can't get saved by looking at trees or at clouds or dreams that come into our head at night when our head is unhooked by sleep. You're not going to find Him there. You're going to find Him here in the pages of this book. A Savior who loves you as much as He loved a woman who was despised by the Jewish people. Jesus should not even be talking to this woman. And as the world gets more wicked, and as people draw away even more, I've got to guard my heart from drawing away from them. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus broke all the rules in what He's doing here. I'm sick of religious rules. Unless they're in here. He broke the tradition of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the religious people. And he talked to a woman who had a hole in her soul. You are dead, born dead in trespasses and sins.
This is going to say, that beautiful baby that we all play with all the time in here, that belongs to that guy right there, who's probably down in the nursery right now, that Ed just showed me pictures of. He's always teasing her. That beautiful child is dead spiritually. As beautiful and as perfect as she is. When my granddaughter was born, I was there. Happened in the living room floor at my daughter's house at 2 o'clock in the morning. Unbeknownst to me, he was getting ready to take her to the hospital. But she couldn't get to the hospital. And when the child was born, and the police officer finally handed the baby to me, my daughter's response was, "Dad, is she okay?" And I said, "She's perfect, sweetie. She was born in the birth sac. 1 in 85,000. She wasn't all dried up, purple. She was perfect. I mean, beautiful, like a little baby doll, like a little China baby doll." And I said, "She's perfect, sweetie." I was crying. "She's perfect." She wasn't perfect, was she? She was born in Adam's sin. Born in Adam's sin. And time will come, and she's getting older now, where that perfect physical specimen of a child, of an infant, has to take care of a sin problem. And it has to be just like this woman. She has to know Jesus, right? She's got to know that. She has to know the Messiah for herself. And no amount of baptism or could wash that away prior to her knowing, to her understanding. I didn't understand what salvation was when I was baptized in the church that I was baptized in as a child. I had no clue. I just know you were supposed to do it. So at a point in time, I did it. In a processional line, there was a line of us kids that went in the tank that summer. And after each one of us came up out of the water, the song was, "Now I belong to Jesus. Now I belong to Jesus." No, I didn't belong to Jesus then. I belonged to that church. I did. I belonged to that church. You know why? Because I was the same kid after that I was before, and the hole was still there. If I would have come up out of that water and belonged to Jesus, would that hole have been there? Would that spiritual emptiness have been there? No, it wouldn't have. And here, a dear woman, who's probably considered one of the greatest sinners in the community, says, "I know that Messiah cometh, and when he is come, he will tell us all things." You know what she's asking for? "And when he is come, he'll fix me. He'll fix what's broken." See, she mentioned the religious system that was broken. You guys meet down here. We meet up here. Where do we go? Where do we find God? Where is this emptiness inside of me filled? Because apparently she had worshipped at the one place and it wasn't being filled there. Right?
And we know it wasn't being filled in the other place because the most religious man in all of Jerusalem came to Jesus by night in the chapter before and said what he said. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again.
I say to you today, folks, you need to be born again. If you're not born again, you know it because you know when you were born. I got a birth certificate at home. Still got my original. It says the day and the time with the signatures on it. It says on such and such a date and such a time, I was born.
You know what? If you have to be born again spiritually, there's got to be a point in time where nothing was ever the same. Because when God moves in, it cannot be the same. There can't be a hole. There can't be a spiritual emptiness. Do we go through difficult times? Yes. Yes. We do. But he never leaves us or forsakes us once he comes to reside. I'm thankful for that. There have been times in my life where things have been tough from externally, and there have been times in my life where things have been tough both internally because I have an old nature. But you want to know something? The Holy Spirit's there. He's there. And he gets me through both of those times. Both of those times. She came to this well that morning with nothing on her mind but the flesh. She's coming for physical water. She's coming to quench a thirst that Jesus says, you will never quench. You can't quench it with the water of this world. You can't quench it with the water of churches. It can only come from the water of life. And he is that wellspring. He is that water of life. You won't get that spiritual hole filled at anything that even resembles that. It's not going to happen. It only comes from one place. The well of life. The well of life. And in two chapters, Jesus says, you must be born again. And he says unto this woman, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him and he would have given thee living water. She came to the well to satisfy the flesh with literal water that could never quench her thirst. Five times she had been married looking for a relationship that could not be satisfied by the men in her life. The relationships that she truly needed was a relationship with God. And a relationship with God was found at this time. What did Jesus say to her? But the hour cometh and now is. Now, he's saying to her, your thirst can only be quenched with a relationship with God through me, not a church, not a denomination, but through a Savior, not a place, but a person. That's what this whole passage is all about. It's a person, not a place. The night I got saved, the world, for a few minutes, about where Ike was sitting is where I was. The world for a few minutes melted away. The world melted away. The Maranatha Baptist Church melted away. The preacher that had preached the message melted away. And the only thing that was in existence at that moment in time was me and God. God Almighty, and I saw myself for what I really was, a lost sinner. Amen. A lost church member. Amen. me tell you something. That was a stark reality. And you want to know something? When Jesus says to this woman, yeah, you don't have a husband. You've had five, and the one you're now living with is not your husband. Guess what happened to her? The world melted away. For the next few minutes, everything melted away, and it was her and God. She asked the right question. Where do I find him? Jesus says, it's a person. And the woman says, I know it's a person. I've always believed this. Remember, to be saved, you need that thing called faith. Faith. And she says, I know that Messiah cometh. Does she have faith? She demonstrates it. It comes right out of her mouth. She has faith. She demonstrates faith here. Four times in this passage, she refers to herself. She acknowledges her thirst. Give me this water that I thirst not. She confesses her sin. I have no husband. Her eyes are spiritually starting to open. I perceive that thou art a prophet. And then she exhibits faith. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will fix me. He will fix me. He will fill this hole in my soul that I know is there. And in verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I am. I am. Because he is. He is the answer. You know, moving forward into the future of an uncertain world, crazy stuff on the internet about nukes and all that stuff. That doesn't bother me. You know what worries me? What worries me is that there's someone sitting in here that has never met the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, at a well. Not in a church, even though this is where it's being preached. Not in there, but there. And the well is the Word of God. That's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about the next pandemic, I'll be frank with you. The Bible says that anyone that stands behind this pulpit watches for your souls. Yes. I have nothing to gain by watching for your soul, but heartache and grief. Yet I'll bear that because I want you to be saved. I want you to be saved. I want you to be born again. I want you to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Heaven's standard is perfection. If you don't understand that, look at the Old Testament. Perfection. God doesn't overlook anything. Aaron lost two sons in the blink of an eye in one day and almost lost the other two sons. Why? Because of God's holiness, perfection. And the question is not, did I do my best to get there? The question is, am I perfect? Am I perfect? Is this dear woman perfect? No. Do you know what Nicodemus struggled with? He's perfect. He's arrived. He's a religious leader. He knows it all. He's crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's. He's done all the do's and don'ts. There isn't a man in Jerusalem, there wasn't a man in the world at that time more religious than Nicodemus. I can easily say that. Yet he comes to Jesus. He comes to the well with a hole because none of his goodness and none of his religion could fill it. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you got to start all over again as a little baby, born again. You believe in the Father, believe also in me. You know, the apostles struggled with that. Why would Jesus say that if they didn't? You believe in God, believe also in me. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, what you have to think is, what's going on in her mind right here, right now, at this point? The Savior has revealed himself to a sinner. Look, if you're sinking in the sea of life, the sea of sin, and we all are, we are born into a sea. We start treading water. There comes a day where you get tired. Have you ever been treading water and got tired? And if you're not close to the side of the pool or something else, you just can't tread water anymore. I've been there. I've done it. I was a fish when I was a kid. But I wasn't a fish, because you know what I couldn't do? I couldn't breathe once I slipped below the water. I couldn't breathe once I slipped below the water. Comes a point in time, it's coming for all of us, where we're going to slip below the water. Yet there's one. Who's there? He's got his hand out just like this. Come on. Come on, aren't you tired of treading water in the sea of life? Aren't you sick of this godless hole in your soul? Aren't you tired of that? Don't you want some peace? Don't you want some assurance? Listen, I'm in heaven. I'm just not there yet. Because of anything I did? No. No. Because of what he did. Because of what he did on Calvary's cross. You see, Jesus made me perfect in God's eyes when his blood washed away my sins. And I'll be honest with you, the Baptist church didn't do that for me. It didn't do that for me. A person did that for me. Not a place, a person. So you got to be wondering what she's thinking. Because her mind now is racing. Because at this point in time, she's already demonstrated the faith. What do we need to see next? Steve, you just said it. Repentance. I'm going this way. I'm treading water. Grab that hand. It's a turn. It's not a change of mind. It's a change of heart. There's a difference. There's a big difference. This woman needed to repent now. She needed to look at herself in the mirror of God's word. Go get your husband. That was the mirror of God's word. She said, I have no husband. You're right. You're right. You need to look in that mirror of God's word, see yourself for who you are. As good as we can make ourselves, we can't be perfect. None of us can.
And the only thing that will get us ready to worship God, truly worship God in spirit and in truth, in His presence, is to have that man at that will
transform us by His shed blood on Calvary's cross. I'm going to skip over what the disciples say. We'll come back to that maybe next week. I want you to go to verse 28.
What was she coming to the well to do that morning? What was on her mind the entire time? The flesh. I got to get my water. I got to get my water. She took all the effort to walk all the way out to that well with that water pot. Yet at this point in time, what does she do? She leaves it. She leaves it. And somewhere, at that moment, I believe, at that moment, when the water pot meant nothing else to her, she turns. Right there is when she was saved. That's faith and repentance. Two sides of the coin. She turns from the water pot and she goes back into the city. Right there, when she left that water pot, that woman was born again. Right there. And you know what's missing? What's missing? The sinner's prayer. It's missing. What's missing in Nicodemus? The sinner's prayer. It's missing. What did he say? I don't know. What did she say? She said nothing. It all occurred where? Right here. Now, the night I got saved, I did say something. I didn't know what else to say other than, God, I'm sorry, over and over and over again as I wept at that altar. God, I'm sorry. That's all I knew how to say. But I didn't pray a sinner's prayer because that's not what salvation is. And we allowed that to come particularly into the Baptist churches in the last 75 years. Yes, say this prayer and you'll be fine. No, you won't.
It's more than that. And it's not a work, because what could she do right then? Could she right all the wrongs? Could she change all those marriages back again the other way? Absolutely not. There's no undoing our sin. Our sin is ever before us.
But I'm going to tell you something. The second she walked away from that pot, she was a new creature.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, verse 17, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become what? New. If you is what you was, then you ain't. You cannot be new and be old. It's not possible. It's not possible. How do I know she was new? The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the people.
Who did she go to first? The six men that had been in her life. Guaranteed. Now, I don't have Josephus to back me up on that. But why does it say the men? Who else could she talk to in the city? No one. Could she talk to the women? No. She talked to the men. And you know what she said?
Come. What did Christ say to her? Go, then come. All right? She says, come see a man which put his finger on my sin. Is not this the Christ? That's a rhetorical question, folks. It's there for a statement.
You know what she's saying? This is Christ. The Messiah has come. He's here. And he fixed me. And she was fixed when she walked away from that water pot. And this dear woman was never the same. Can we sin after we're saved? Yes. Yes. We do. But our sin is under the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, past, present, and future, once we walk away from that water pot. Amen. Jesus didn't tell her to go to Jerusalem
and confess her sins to the Pharisees. He didn't tell her that, look, you need to pray this for the next 3 or 4 weeks. He didn't tell, what did he tell her to do? He didn't tell her anything to do. What had to happen where? Right here. Right here. The heart. The will.
I'm doing that. You know what the problem with Cain was? I'm doing this my way. God said, that's not my way. And Cain said, I don't care what you say. I'm doing this my way.
When she walked away from that water pot, she wasn't doing it her way anymore, was she?
No.
No, that's true biblical repentance and faith exhibited in a dear woman who desperately needed it. And my thing is, it doesn't have to be someone who has gone through that many relationships. It doesn't have to be. It's anyone. It's a 9-year-old boy right there who recognized the fact that his sin made him imperfect. His sin was why he needed to be saved. Born again. That he had a sin problem. And there was nothing he could do to fix that. I'm out of time today. You can't fix yourself. You can't fix yourself. You know how many times I reformed my life from the time I was 17 till the time I was 37? I lost count. Because I went to church. Lost. So I could sit there pretty much every week and for the most part turn it off. Particularly for the man of God that stood there every week because I'd been listening to him since I was 16. So it's easy to do. And don't tell me you've never done it because there's no halos popping up right now. You turn it off after a while. But it was those special meetings.
Wasn't it?
Those guys would come in and it seemed like that's when the Holy Spirit would poke me. Whew. You going to keep playing this game? You going to keep playing this game? You going to keep playing church? Or are you going to be born again? And I kept saying, but I was saved when I was 17, remember? And the Holy Spirit said, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. And I'd walk out of the church and say, okay, I got to clean up some things. How long do you think it lasts each time I tried to clean the things up? Most of the time, not even a week. The language was back. The habits were back. It was all back. And it just never went away. Until that night, the world melted. And God and I met at a well on the 9th pew of the Maranatha Baptist Church. And nothing was the same after that. And I've never doubted my salvation for one second because it's Jesus that did it, not me. Oh, I doubt me all the time. But I don't doubt Him. And I never will. Stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed as she comes to play.
Oh, brothers and sisters, search your hearts. I know in a church this size, there are folks that just were me. Were me. It was me. And you're the one I'm worried about. I'm worried about me, but not the one standing here, because Jesus has paid for all my sins. And I put my faith and trust in Him on April the 4th, 1999. I'm worried about someone who's not.